set him up to talk about pitch sequence and to talk about what catchers are doing on particular plays, things that he saw and liked and remembered from his time as a player. There's not any of that there, and they're not kind of letting him do the AJ thing from a personality standpoint. So it might as well be anybody. Any ex-player could do what they were asking AJ to do on Saturday, and I wish that they would tap into how – I don't think they're tapping into the resource that he is as a baseball analyst. Like, pure, hardcore baseball analysis from a guy who is not that far removed from playing the game, I'd like to hear more of that from him.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And when we're spoiled by the quality of our local broadcasts for two first place teams, we're flat spoiled by what they're doing and the level of the discourse, the overall brain power of those broadcasts, just the intelligence that we get from them. And I know that maybe they don't think the national audience is ready quite for some of that stuff, but you know, there's so much data, there's so much information, all the StatCast stuff, use it. It just seemed to me like it was incredibly generic. It just was this sort of this warmed over kind of thing, where it was funny that I always talk about this White Sox group chat that I'm on with my childhood friends. This is all lifelong, diehard White Sox fans, one of whom is related to one of the owners of the team. Nobody knew that was AJ. Everyone's like, who is this? Who is this? I'm like, guys, that's AJ Pierzynski. And the reaction is like, what? Like, that's not, like you said, that's not the AJ that we thought, you know, the guy with strong thoughts on everything.
It and was a personality.
Really, really weird. And a personality.
AJ, and again, like, to me, the most important thing is AJ's super smart. And if, you want to, I don't think that you have to go like total StatCast broadcast. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about using some of the subjective from a guy who used to play and having him help walk us through. If it were a Dodgers A's game that they were doing, okay, fine. But this is a franchise that these are two franchises that he knows pretty well that he could speak on. And I'm just like, come on. Like, there's more here. Like, they're not getting the most out of a guy who I think is both smart and entertaining. And they won't even lean one way or the other. Like, if you want to go, like, let's just have AJ be wacky, I'm good with that, but go all the way. And if you want AJ to prove, hey, this is why a lot of people thought that he was such a smart player when he was in the league, you can dig into that too. And with the national broadcast for the Cubs, like I just think that whole thing is a disaster. All of it,
the worst.
All except for like when they add in Buster Olney and Tim Kirkchen, who I think that their information is really good. I need more out of the broadcast overall. And I would have like when you make the remark of, you know, a triple to left field at Wrigley Field. Yeah, now tell me why that happened.
Yeah, not
because
supposed
it's
to
a
happen.
Very rare thing that happened.
And it ended up getting a guy benched because it was allowed to have happened because of what was perceived to be some laziness. Meanwhile, while we're dishing it out against broadcasters, credit to Ian Eagle and Charles Davis. And I adore both guys because they're both tremendous guys as well as being really good, solid professional broadcasters. The ease with which that broadcast has come through. This is a brand new cast. They've never worked together before. They're two games in. That was tremendous considering everything else that's going on and how disrupted broadcasts have been. Don't sleep on what it takes for them to sound as natural and as compelling as they were. They did a really, really good job. If we're going to complain about Dick Stockton and everything else, that was effortlessly professional yesterday. And I'm always, always happy to hear either one of them. It's even better when they're together.
It's about roles. Both of us have done play by play. So we kind of understand what the roles are. It's a matter of setting your analyst up and having your analyst be the one who's doing the most talking. On a television broadcast, it's a little bit different, but Ian Eagle is one of the best play-by-play guys in our business. The stuff that he does on the Nets, he and Sarah Kustak won Emmys this past year, and he gets it. He understands how to lay it up for his analyst. The play-by-play guy doesn't have to show you how smart they are. You've got someone like Charles Davis at your disposal. Move out of the way and let him do work. And I think that they understand their roles better than most people. And with some, it's personality driven too. Like, I actually do like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman because
I do too.
It comes across like they're doing great work, but their closeness and their bond comes across on the air. And that takes time. But in lieu of having time, having two guys that understand, okay, this is where I can walk the ball up to, and this is where I can take the ball, and this is when I get out of the way and let the play-by-play guy do his thing. I think there's tremendous value in just doing that and letting your analyst shine.
And when you have somebody with their are naturally upbeat too, and they don't sort of beat you over the head with how important everything is, I always feel good in the hands of an Ian Eagle broadcast, in that I know that he knows it's just sports. Part of that is just his overall sort of twinkly sense of humor. But I just, they strike a tone that for me as a viewer is very comfortable.
I agree. And it's one of the reasons I love having Charles Davis on the air. He's so complete. Like, it's, you know how it is, Dan. Like, you get some of these games, and we'll talk to analysts that are coming in and doing a Bears game, and they're talking about things that happened 3 weeks ago or a month ago. I know that whenever I put Charles on the air, we had him on Friday, that I'm getting a guy who is paying attention to what is happening, is watching the tape, understands where things are. And I imagine that Giants fans felt the same way, that this wasn't someone who just parachuted into the broadcast. It was someone that took the time to make you feel like, as a viewer, that they weren't just cashing a paycheck, that they were invested in giving you the best analysis that they could give you on that particular game.
Lawrence, I know that you have your usual Bears Monday. I believe Anthony Herron is scheduled to join you at 1 o'clock, but I just want to make sure you weigh in. Give us your thumbnail sketch. How good are the Bears?
They're 2-0.
I didn't ask that. I didn't say what's your record.
I agree with their coach. They're okay.
Okay.
And the best part is winning games allows you to fix stuff outside of a pressure cooker. And I think there's value in that. I really do. And I'm going to break it down. I got some stuff that I want to do and I want to talk about from the game. But it's better than them being 1-1.
It's better than them being
0-2.
Yes, and no one's arguing it's better than the alternative. I get the feeling that looking at how huge this week could be, this could be the week that they absolutely just get kicked in the rocks and we're all reminded of what it means to slay bums for the first couple of weeks.
But you can make a lot of money
on football picks.
The problem is that the Falcons are kind of a dumb football team, and that played out yesterday as well. They've got some issues too with coaches going for two in weird situations and them being the statistical anomaly of scoring 39 points, not turning the ball over, and still managing to lose a game. That is impossible to do, and yet the Falcons did it. So this could happen again, where the Bears end up in a game against a team that you don't know how good the team is, and they win, and you go, are they any good? They're okay. And that's all that we can say. So, Dan, I appreciate it. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Go get them.
We are getting ready to get started. This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number 4, KIDS. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Can you believe that the Bears haven't given Allen Robinson a contract extension?
What's the case? Is there a case to be made against doing? Is there?
No. Unless he's injured and we don't know it. And if he were, I mean, he's playing, so he's not injured.
The only thing I can come up with, and you know, I don't like Ryan Pace at all. I think he's terrible at his job. He's one of the worst general managers in the NFL. Are we at the end of our window right now with Khalil Mack, and we gave a lot of money to Quinn? Is the defense going to be that good? But is this the window? Is it slamming shut? Because we still don't have a quarterback. So we're not going to get the most out of Allen Robinson, even though he's been a true number one here. Is it worth it for us to pay him now? Because after years and years without some of these top picks, I think the next couple of years are going to be some trying times for the Bears. And I don't know if Ryan Pace is going to be here to fix it. We'll see what happens this season. But the case that you can make is they don't have a quarterback. And do they believe this window is about to close? And if they think that, what's the point in paying A-Rob? Because maybe when they're ready to win again, he's going to be past his prime in a few years.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Well, yesterday was not the best argument for Allen Robinson and his contract extension, but his overall resume as a Bear, I think, still plays. Welcome in. I'm Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock. Anthony Heron is going to join me at 1. So until then, you and I get the opportunity to hang out. I want to give you the opportunity, if you want to talk about the Bears via text, you can text us at 312-644-6767. If you would like to call us, you can use the same number, 312-644-6767. The Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. I'm also going to try and find time to talk about the Cubs and the Sox, because I think there are some pressing issues with both teams. And yesterday I think you had David Ross pull Kyle Schwarber because of effort yesterday. And I know that there are a lot of Cub fans that like that and think that that's something that Joe would not have done. And Rossi did it on national television. And I kind of understood him not wanting to say anything on the national broadcast. I do wish he would have confirmed that in the post, because ideally you're thinking, okay, he would like to have a further conversation with Schwarber about it while not managing a game, and then he could talk about it publicly. But we'll see, and I have the chance to talk with him tomorrow. I'm sure by then it'll be squashed, but I thought that was it. And then what to do with Dylan Cease? I want to spend some time talking about that on the show today, too, because I'm not sure that for the wild card round, wherever it is that the White Sox play, I'm not sure that there's a spot for him on your roster. It's probably better to say that his spot on a playoff roster could be better used. So I want to discuss that a little bit later on and get Herbie's thoughts on it. But clearly, it's a Bears Monday here on The Score. The Bears survived. They survived yesterday's game. 17-13. They jump out to a big lead in this game and then just kind of hung on for dear life. It was almost a reverse of what had happened with the Detroit game the week before. Here's how I look at it. Every team is in the same boat when it comes to whether or not you had a preseason. You didn't have a preseason, and so everyone's trying to figure out some of this stuff on the fly. I have an idea who I think is really good. I think Seattle's really good. That was fun last night. How about Cam and Russ out there cooking last night? That was a lot of fun. I think the Packers are really good. I don't think that it's just the two opponents that they played in the NFC North. I think that offense has clicked on, and I think that Aaron Rodgers is motivated and is bought in. There are other teams too. I mean, there's some teams that are just getting decimated by injuries, like San Francisco. Like, they're with the Bears, them being 2-0 at this point, it might not feel as satisfying as you would have thought that 2-0 felt. Last week it was euphoria over, man, I can't believe that they came back, and we're sitting there kind of on the precipice of Nick Foles being the starting quarterback for the Bears and Mitch rallies. In this game, Mitch came out early and the offense came out early and made some plays. And it looked like that was a game that should have been a blowout. They should have won that game by 3 touchdowns. We're all in agreement on that. You're not going to get any argument from me on that. They should have won that game by 3 touchdowns. The Giants were begging to get blown out. And then they have the injury to Saquon Barkley, which is just horrible. Like, on back-to-back plays, he has 2 tough injuries. And then it was confirmed this morning that it's an ACL tear for him. So he's gone for at least a year. But the Bears offense just, they had, even in the second half, you're like, man, Nagy is out here calling run plays back to back to back to back. And then when it came to the thing that they wanted to work on from game one to game two, third down conversions, they were great at it in the first half and then a disaster in the second half. If you look at Mitch's numbers in the first half, you would think that the Bears won this game going away. Mitch was 12 of 17, 144 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, a passer rating of 115.8. How did he end up? He ended up throwing for 56 more yards in the second half. 18 of 28 for 190 yards. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a passer rating of 78 for the game. So it's disjointed. The defense, I thought, played great in the game. They only gave up 13 points, and they came up with a big stop at the end to preserve the win. I was listening to the post game, and I wanted to share this with you as we continue to talk about it. And again, if you want to call in, 312-644-6767, or you can text us at the same number. Jason Leisure, who's a friend of the show, he writes for the Sun-Times. He asked a really good question of Matt Nagy, and I appreciated his response. The question was, how do you kind of jibe process versus result? Are you getting what you want out of your team even though you're winning games?
2-0 in this league. I just told the guys in the locker room, it's one of the things I said is you know, it doesn't, like, the way that ended and just, you know, the guys are tired and the way it went with scoring no points in the second half, it certainly doesn't feel as exciting as it was last week when we won with a comeback and scoring all of our points in the fourth quarter. So, but I also told our guys, now listen, it is not easy to win in this league. I don't care who you're playing, and we're 2-0. So what we got to do now is we got to go back and we got to balance out, okay, where are we at as a team right now? Do we like our identity, offense, defense, special teams? How can we get better? And that's what we'll do. I have all the confidence in our coaches, and then the players, they'll criticize themselves too.
Do you, though? Do you like where you're at?
I would say we're just okay right now. You know, I think we expect a little better, but I'm not criticizing our players and coaches. That's a part of being in the second week with no preseason. So we have high expectations, and we want to be better. So I think that's just speaks to who our guys are as people.
Yeah, you'll take the win, and I actually think that these are the types, if coaches were honest, they would tell you that they really do enjoy these types of wins because the team feels great. Mitch feels good. I threw 2 touchdowns in the first half. I was fantastic in the first half. The team feels good about the win, but the coach still is able to go in and make corrections with players that understand the corrections need to be made, that aren't hiding from the fact that they have corrections to make. So we can discuss it. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to call in, and if you want to text, it's the same number. When we come back, there was something I absolutely loved from the Bears offense yesterday, and I want to talk about that next here on The Score.
This is Bears Monday. The Score guys react to the Bears' win over the Giants. Get analysis from our team of Bears experts and take your calls. There's no Monday like a Bears Monday. All day today, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. The NFL survived opening week relatively unscathed, but week two had too many victims. Giants running back Saquon Barkley and Niners defensive end Nick Bosa have torn ACLs. Also dealing with a high ankle sprain for QB Jimmy Garoppolo. Injuries for